I want to do all I can to be on the winning side. Amen. What a beautiful day it is to come and worship God together. You know, God has decreed and loosed His will and His desire for the destiny of this assembly. He's spoken many times, I'm sure before I got here. He's spoken through Brother Eli Hernandez very specifically, that which is going to begin in this region is going to reach to the southernmost portion of Ohio, citing Cincinnati in particular. And I'm not sure that, I mean, in all kindness, Brother Hernandez, geographically, I don't think he even knew where he was in relation to Cincinnati and realized it was sitting on the southernmost part of Ohio on the river when he spoke those words. Brother George Hurt spoke words to us, some of us in particular, what God was going to do in our lives and what He was going to do in this church. Folks, we aren't just going to happen into it. We don't just fall into the will of God. We have to align ourselves with what God is doing. We have to consecrate ourselves. If you read any time when God was getting ready to do something in the Bible, He called for a holy convocation. That's getting together. And He called for a consecration. That's separating ourselves from sin, from the things of this world, from anything that we know in our life that is wrong. And getting ourselves in line with His will. Why? Because God's doing something. And God wants me to be a part of it. And God wants you to be a part of it. So we're not just going to happen into the will of God. We are going to align ourselves with the will of God. However, the enemy wants nothing more than to distract us from the destiny that God has designed for each and every one of us, every one of us in this church. And folks, we're going to address something today in the name of the Lord. We're going to address that distraction. Because I've had people come to me in the last few weeks that I'm not going to call out who came to me. I'm not going to divulge your identity. But there has been more than one person. And there's been more than two people that have came to me. And I've had discussion with my pastor. He knows what's going on. Because it concerns me that people are concerned. Because they feel a distraction among us. They feel a hindrance among us. Brother Hurt felt it the last time he was here. It's as real as a brick wall. Incidentally, we have a background of a brick wall today. Never even thought about that. When we come together to worship, we felt it. We voiced our concern. We voiced our questioning of what in the world is going on. We're talking about understanding God's authority in this series. And today with that, we're going to talk about distraction or destiny. Understanding God's authority. We're either going to be a distraction or we are going to align ourselves in the will of God and allow His word to work in our life. And we're going to align with what God wants to do. And we are going to be part of the destiny of this church. This church will move on. This church will go on. But whether I am part of this church's destiny will directly be determined not on you, not on you, not on you, 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 or you. It will be determined by me and my choices. You see, this distraction is that awkward feeling, both in the church and in the home, that we feel. It's that almost that daring, defiant spirit that rises up and says, I dare you to confront me. Well, I come in the name of the Lord today and I say God is confronting you today in Jesus' name. Because God loves you. And we can blind ourselves and we can shut our ears to the voice of the Lord so long that we don't hear him talking to us, and we march inexorably to our own destruction. And God has come one more time in this place to put up a roadblock and said, you need to slow down, you need to examine your heart, and you need to repent of what I've been talking to you about before it is too late. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
This is hindering some folks' worship. I'm convinced it's not that we have a church full of people who don't want to worship. I'm beginning to be convinced we have a church full of people that can't worship. They don't know what to do with what they feel. What they feel is not God, and they know it, and they don't know what to do with it. Well, we've come today to talk about it. We've come today to give another opportunity for us to get ourselves right with God, because the Lord has come to us through Brother Hurt twice, and he came to us again through Brother Hurt last time, and God's coming to us again. But there's coming a time when God's going to say, enough is enough. It's time to do business. It's why we have needs in the church. A prayer line is formed and little to nobody moves. Why? Because that spirit is standing and it's opposing the will of God. It's opposing the work of God. It's opposing the people of God. And I have come today in the authority of the name of Jesus to stand against that spirit and say, be gone by the authority of the word of God in Jesus' name. We can rebuke that devil all we want to, but I'm telling you what, if we're playing host to it, we need to be careful. Because it's not going to go until we repent. The church isn't about me, folks. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and him being glorified. We need to be very careful how we're treading before the Lord. We need to be very careful how we're scoffing at the word of God and how we're scoffing at authority and how we are making light of it. And we're saying, well, that's just not me. That doesn't apply to me. Well, no, my friend. God's talking to all of us. He's saying if we're going to be in his destiny, we need to align ourselves with the will of God and submit ourselves to authority lest we become a distraction in the work of God. And I will tell you what, God will only allow destruction so long before he removes the destruction. Hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. He's only going to allow distraction so long before he ultimately says enough is enough. My church is bigger than an individual. Not that he doesn't love you. Not that he doesn't care for you. Not that he hasn't died for you, my friend. But I'm telling you what. We can push God to the point where he has no alternative to move on. You know, King Ahab hated Micaiah the prophet. Matter of fact, and you know what I like about Ahab? He was honest. He said, I hate that guy. He never prophesies anything good about me. I hate his guts. Got to give props to Ahab. At least he wasn't a hypocrite. You know one thing about Ahab too? When the Lord pronounced what he was going to do in the house of Ahab, you know Ahab sat in sackcloth and ashes and humbled himself before the Lord and repented before the Lord. And you know God took note? Ahab was the most wicked king Israel ever had. But when he repented, God took note and he said, I'm not going to do it in his day, but I'm going to do it in his son's days. Well, I tell you what, I don't want it in my day. I don't want it in my son's days. I don't want it in my grandbaby's days. I don't want it in my great-grandbaby's days. I want my posterity to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. But at least he humbled himself. At least he repented before the Lord and God took note. But he hated the man of God. Here's a pro tip for you. Young man, if you want to be popular, don't be a preacher. Don't be a pastor for sure. Young ladies, if you want to be popular, don't speak the truth. I'm sure you young gals probably are experiencing a little bit of that in school right now, huh? You're speaking the truth. And with some people, you're not very popular. But I'm telling you what, as long as you have the king's approval, that's all matters. Because he's got your back. Here's your rear reward. He goes before you, and he comes behind you. And he's got you, ladies. He's got you in Jesus' name. But Ahab hated Micaiah. Saul hurled javelins at David. Just hated his guts. You know why he hated him? Because he knew that he would not obey God. He knew that God had departed from him, and he knew that attacking the adversary was the only way of revenge, my friend. We need to be careful when we attack the man of God when he comes to preach the word. We need to be careful when someone comes and says, I have a concern about you. We need to be careful how we attack those who are trying to help us in the Holy Ghost, my friend. Saul hated him. The Pharisees condemned Jesus to crucifixion by means of an illegitimate trial. Put him to death. And Saul of Tarsus opposed the early church to the death. Do we notice a pattern here? Do we notice a pattern among those who refused to repent and those who were just bringing the message? These folks were just the mailmen. Micaiah wasn't perfect. David, my word, we know he wasn't perfect. Jesus was the only perfect one. The early church wasn't perfect. They just had the message. They just had the goods. But it's human nature. We want to shoot the messenger. We want to kill the messenger. You know why? Because it's that spirit that opposes this church. It wants to shut the messenger's mouth. It wants you to shut up if you're preaching truth. It wants you to shut up if you're stepping on my toes. It wants you to shut up if you're getting down my business and down my lane. Just shut up and leave me alone. Well, I want to tell you something. We can keep that attitude all we want to, and God will shut up. And he'll leave us alone. He did Saul. The Bible said there came a day in Saul's life when God would not even listen to him. And I believe that Saul would have got on his face and his knees and said, God, I am so sorry. I humble myself before you and I repent, Lord, of my sins. And I repent. I know, God, you won't restore the kingdom to me. That's already gone. But God, I need to have my relationship with you. What makes you think that? Brother, God left him. I read of a man named Samson who was deceived by a little lady named Delilah. Eyes poked out. She vexed him. She taunted him. And he ground at the mill. He was just like a beast. He was like an oxen. But there came a day he began to realize what he had lost. He began to miss what he had had. And all of a sudden he found the pillars and he put one hand here and one hand there, and he said, God, if you could just do it one more time. You know what? God is waiting for someone to call out to him in true repentance and humble yourself before the Lord, and God will come through. But do we notice a pattern with these people? Who you love and who you hate? Oh, I don't hate anybody, Brother Pritt. Don't lie to me. Who you love and who you hate tell a lot about you and your spiritual condition. Who I love and who I hate, or what I hate, tell a lot about me and my spiritual condition. I want to ask you a question today, and I believe the Lord gave it to me. Who's your best friend? Who's your best friend? That's all I'm going to ask. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. That's a good one, Pastor Matt. Who's your best friend? We're going to leave the rest up to the Holy Ghost. I pray you listen to him. There's a question that's asked in the Bible in relation to this spirit that we're dealing with. Brother Hurt identified it as what we call the spirit of Jezebel, and we're going to talk about that for just a little bit. Because in 2 Kings chapter 9 begins a story, and we're going to read on down through that chapter a little bit. We're going to skip some verses for the sake of time. But we're going to keep it in context. But there's a question that's been asked that I want to ask this church that rings in my ears. And we're going to get to it. It says then Jehu. Everybody say Jehu. Jehu was the man that when Elijah was in the cave mourning because Jezebel sent a letter and said, God, do to me and more so also if by this time tomorrow you're dead. Jezebel's been speaking into somebody's ears saying, I'm going to get you. You're going down. This, that, and the other. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I want to tell you something. Jezebel doesn't run this church. Jezebel doesn't run my life. Jezebel doesn't make my pastor preach what he preaches or stop him from preaching what he should preach. Jezebel doesn't run your life, my friend. I surely hope not. And I have come to stand against that spirit today. I've come to stand against that behavior today. I've come to stand against the unrepentance of the spirit today. In the name of the Lord, a host, the one true and living God. But Jehu, the man whom Elijah was told to go anoint, mounted his chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram lay there. And Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to visit Joram. Now the watchman was standing on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu and came and said, I see a company. And Joram said, take a horseman and send to meet him and let him say, is it peace? Well, that's interesting. So a man came on horseback to meet him and said, thus says the king, is it peace? And Jehu said, what do you have to do with peace? Turn around and ride behind me. I think that's what we need to say. Maybe we ought to start that a little bit. Somebody starts running somebody down. Somebody starts gossiping. Somebody starts backbiting. Somebody starts railing. Maybe we ought to say, well, what do you have to do with peace? Get behind me, Satan. Well, that might offend him. Well, Jesus wasn't worried about offending Peter. When Peter opposed him, he said, surely, Lord, you're not going to die and rise again the third day. He said, get behind me, Satan. You realize Jesus called Judas the devil? They sat at dinner, and he said, have I not chosen you 12? Now, a lot, this may seem uncomfortable, us preaching and talking like this with such a little congregation, but it's not near as uncomfortable as when we're trying to have worship service, and that spirit is among us because somebody won't repent of it, and we're trying to have worship service, and it just feels kind of disjointed, and people are saying, what's wrong, Brother Pritt? That's uncomfortable to me. This kind of preaching and teaching is not uncomfortable, even when I have to endure it from that side. I may not like it, but if I submit myself to it, I'll be a better person and a better disciple because of it. So maybe we ought to start that. He said, have I not chosen 12? And one of you is. Everybody say is. He didn't say you're acting like a devil. He didn't say you're in league with the devil. Look up the word is. That means to be. He said, Judas, you're a devil. What's that tell me? When I align myself with Satan, that I'm identifying with him. I am in league with him. I'm acting on his behalf. I'm to Jesus, I am just the same as Lucifer or a devil. I become an enemy of the cross. And that's what Jesus Christ is trying to expose here. We need to repent and not be an enemy of the cross. Because anytime we oppose what's going on in the house of God and the work of God, I don't care what it looks like. If it's opposition, it's opposition. You can sugarcoat, or you can take cyanide, and you can make the best dessert ever. And you can lace it with cyanide, and it looks like a good dessert, and it smells like a good dessert, and it tastes like a good dessert, but guess what? You're gonna die. So we can look like an apostolic, we can talk like an apostolic, we can worship like an apostolic, but if I am harboring this spirit, I'm gonna die, and I'm killing those around me. And too often we do it with a smile, with a pat on the back. And all the while, that pat delivers a dagger that they don't know about. So, is it peace? And where am I? Horseback, is it peace? What do you have to do with peace? Turn around right behind me. And the watchman reported. We on verse 19? Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, thus saith the king, or the king has said, is it peace? He's awful interested in wanting to know if it was going to be peace. I'm coming to tell you today, I haven't come to bring peace today. I haven't come to placate anybody. I haven't come to play games. I have come with the word of the Lord because God is trying to cut this sin out of somebody's life. Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword, my friend. The sword of the Lord. That's the only way when we allow that to cut it out of our lives that it's going to be cut out. So, peace. And Jehu answered, what do you have to do with peace? Turn around right behind me. Verse 20. And again, the watchman reported, he reached them, but he is not coming back. And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. I think that's kind of funny. He was a reckless chariot driver. And Joram said, make ready. They made ready his chariot, and Joram, the king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, set out, each in his chariot, and went to meet Jehu and met him at the property of Naboth. Isn't that interesting? The Jezreelite. Naboth is the one that Jezebel stole his property from. He was a cousin of Ahab. Naboth was killed and presented it for a present to the king. Let me tell you something. I don't care how good it looks. I don't care how bad you wanted it. If someone's giving you something at the cost of someone else's spiritual welfare, my friend, you better not receive it. I just think it was interesting. That's where they met. And when Joram saw Jehu, said, is it peace, Jehu? Why does everybody want to know, is it peace? What's wrong? Jehu asked the question I want to ask us. He said, what peace can there be so long as the whorings? Some translations say the iniquities, which is lawlessness, which is rebellion, and the sorceries, Some translations say witchcraft. I think it's a very interesting word. Brother Hurt talked a lot about witchcraft working and with respect to Jezebel and with iniquity. And what is witchcraft? It's manipulation. It's manipulating the truth. It's perverting the truth. I want to tell you something. There's something to what Brother Hurt said. He's more than just a big man that comes every once in a while and preaches a real long time that can read our mail. I'm telling you, my friend, because I sat down at camp meeting last year and someone pronounced a word over Ohio in this area stating that it was bound by what? Witchcraft. They didn't talk to Brother Hurt. The Holy Ghost talked to Brother Hurt. The Holy Ghost talked to them. I'm telling you what, we need to get serious about what God is telling us. We're not dealing with a pet sin here of, oh my word, I have got this problem or that problem and I just can't quit this. We're talking about something that can deceive the very elect if we're not careful. And when you are deceived, my friend, there's something terrible about it because it feels so good to the flesh. You feel right. You feel justified. Living like a devil, but you feel justified in the eyes of God because it feeds your flesh and we don't know any better. We need to stand against this thing. We need to repent if we're hosting it. We need to examine our hearts and lives and we need to submit to the authority of God in our lives. So, what peace can there be so long as the whorings and sorceries or the iniquities and witchcraft of your mother Jezebel abound or are so many? Jehu rides on and he gets to where he's finally going in his mission. Verse 30. When Jehu came to Jezreel, Jezebel heard about it. Jezebel's heard that we're having church today. That's okay. Jesus is here. The one true living God is here. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. He's one. The devils believe he's one. Amen. And they tremble. I want some devils shaking in their shoes today. So why don't we do this? Let's call upon the name of the Lord right now. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's call out his name. Jesus, you are the one true God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. By the authority of the word of God and by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, I stand against this spirit, God, that is trying to take this church captive, that is trying to stand in the destiny, in the way of the destiny of the will of God for each and every person in this place. Father, rebuke it, God. Help us to repent, God. Help us to humble ourselves before you in Jesus' name. We call upon your name. Call upon your name. In Jesus' name. Everybody say that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's wonderful. But again, if we're hosting this thing, we need to repent. We're not playing games, folks. It's not funny. It's not. This is serious business. Jehu came to Jezreel. Jezebel heard about it. What did she do? God, she painted her face. She adorned her head and she looked out the window. Go ahead and leave it out there, please. When the authority, Jehu represented the authority of God. Would you stand up? Bring your Bible, would you? When the authority of God comes to us and he's preaching the word of God and he's saying, thus saith the Lord. Or he comes to us individually and says, you need to get your heart right. My Lord, don't paint your face. Don't hide behind a mask. Don't adorn your hair. You know what I'm trying to say. Don't put up a facade and make it look like you're not doing what you're doing. But sit down with this man and say, I've got a problem and I need help. So-and-so hit me right between the eyes the other day and I've got this sin in my life and I need to confess it and I need help. My word, let this man help you. Don't hide yourself from the man of God. Don't hide yourself from the authority of God. But that's what Jezebel did. And what she didn't know, her destruction had already been prophesied because of the damage she had done to those around her and her refusal to repent. Next thing she said, Jehu enters the gate. She said, is it peace, you Zimri, murderer of your master? Leave that up here, please. Does anybody else find it quite interesting? And notice a pattern here. Do you come in peace, Jehu? What are you here for, Jehu? You're a murderer, Jehu. Casting a little accusation out his way. Right? Why are they all so concerned with Jehu? Why, if Jehu is coming in peace or not? What did it matter to them? If they were innocent, what's the big whoop? Why are you here, Jehu? You see, she couldn't hide behind her mask. So now she's starting to cast aspersions at him. She's starting to cast accusation at him. You come here to hurt me too? Did you come here in peace? Oh, you're just trying to hurt me. Did you come here to hurt me? You're going to kill me too, Jehu? What she didn't realize he was going to fulfill the prophecy of the word of the Lord. But so often that's our attitude toward those who try and help us. You're just trying to hurt me. You're just trying to put us. You're just trying to, come on, man. God is trying to get us to heaven. God's trying to tear down some walls. God's trying to get some makeup off some of us. God's trying to undo our hair a little bit and let ourselves be vulnerable before God and the man of God so we can make it to heaven. Why were they all so concerned about peace? I find it interesting that that question was asked not only by Jezebel, but those closest to her. Note that when dealing with the sin of Jezebel, the first line of defense will be to accuse you of creating the problem and causing conflict. I'm going to say that again. When dealing with the spirit of Jezebel, the first line of defense of the host of the spirit will be to accuse you of creating the problem and causing the conflict. You here to cause trouble, Jehu? Yeah? Is that what you're going to do? Jehu's probably thinking, gal, if you only knew. And I believe the Holy Ghost has come to tell some of us who will not humble ourselves before the Lord that if you only knew, God help us to repent. Let's seek the Lord for a moment, Father. In the name of the Lord, help me to humble myself before you right now, God. Lord, you're reaching for every soul in this place. God, you know. You know the hearts of men. Our hearts are desperately wicked above all things, and who can know it? Search me, O God, and try my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. But Lord, just like you told Cain, he said, Cain, if you repent, it's going to be well, but if you don't, sin crouches at the door. Jesus, help us. Help us. Sin's crouching at the door, folks. Something's crouching at the door if we don't repent. I'm telling you right now, if we don't get our hearts right with God and quit dealing with this spirit and quit playing with it and quit inviting it into our home and into our church and opposing God's authority in our life, something's crouching at the door and it's not going to be good. There is an effect that iniquity, and I can't remember his name, but the brother who just came and talked about judgment, find it very interesting that he danced all around these issues in his message when he talked about iniquity, that which is hidden in the heart. But iniquity has an effect on our worship, and I'm going to prove it to you from the Word of God, and this is why we get that awkward feeling in the church and sometimes in our homes, in our personal lives. It's because iniquity is not being dealt with. Isaiah 1, chapter 13. You know, like, go ahead and leave that up there. But you know that verse? Some of you could probably quote Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as wool. Woo! Well, we're going to back up and we're going to read in context what precedes that. Because in verse 13, the Lord says, and I'm going to read from the English Standard Version, bring no more vain offerings. No more vain offerings. No more empty offerings. No more worthless offerings. Well, we thought wrong. Because there comes a point in time when we can offer unto the Lord and God looks at it and says, I just can't stand this anymore. And we're going to talk about it. Because God can't stand his people getting together here and his precious sheep. Do we realize we're dealing with the lambs of God? Particularly those of us in authority, we're dealing with God's sheep. Parents, your children are an heritage from the Lord. Be careful how you talk to them. Be careful how you treat them. Be careful how you do them. Because they're the Lord's heritage, not yours. No more empty offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. An abomination is something God hates. Abominations don't change. We don't offer incense anymore to the Lord, but what do? We offer up the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, that is giving thanks to his name. So there is a time I can come before him and do all this and be something that God hates. That offering I'm giving him, God's looking at it and says, Darren, you disgust me. God would say that? Well, here's his word. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. Leave it there. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. What's God saying? If we come and we gather together in convocation and we are tolerating, key word, tolerating iniquity, and somebody is because it's still here. Brother Hurt felt it a few weeks ago when he was here. Just right after he left, I had three people in one day come to me and say, Brother Pritt, what's wrong? Him too. So let's not pretend like it's not here, and let's not pretend like somebody's not repenting, and let's not pretend that it's going to go away. Because it's not going to go away. But I tell you what, if we don't repent, we might go away. Read Corinthians. Read about the Lord's Supper. Those who partook of the Lord's Supper and they did it unworthily. They ate and drank damnation to themselves. And he said, that's why many sleep and are sickly among you. He wasn't talking about they slept in on Sunday. He talked about they were dead. They drank judgment and ate judgment to themselves. We haven't had Lord's Supper in a long time. You're missing the point. The point is, they did it and they did not discern the Lord's body. What they were doing, they were tolerating sinful behavior. They were tolerating a cavalier, casual attitude about the things of God, not regarding how it affected the body and anybody else. It's time for someone to stand up and man up, or woman up, or young person up, or grandpa up, or grandma up, or aunt or uncle, or whoever you are, and realize your actions affect those around you. We're all not perfect. I'm not going to go through that spill. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone who knoweth do you good and doeth it not and is sinning. That's what I'm talking about. God said, I can't stand this anymore. This got to stop. And I really think the Holy Ghost has come in here today. And Brother Mark, my apologies, but I've already talked to Pastor about this. This needs to be completed in one day. And I don't think I'm going to get it done in 45 minutes because God's come to do business. God didn't come to bring peace today. God came to call somebody to repentance today. I would hope all of us. I mean, you might be sitting there thinking, well, I've got my act up. Well, that's good. I'm glad you do. You better be repenting today. You better be saying, God, search me and try my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me, Lord, because I don't know my heart. He said, I can't stand it anymore. It's just like oil and water. They don't mix. You can shake them up. You can get some mixture of them. But eventually it's going to separate. Well, you know what Jesus has come to do? He's come to put the brakes on our worship service right now. He's come to put the brakes on what's supposed to get ready to happen in about 20 minutes. He said, you know what? I'm going to separate the oil from the water. And I'm going to show you what in the world's going on. I'm telling you what, folks. He's come to do business. Verse 14, please. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. You mean there's a point in time I can come and I can do this, that, and the other? And God said, I just can't stand that. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. When that little awkwardness gets among us, we're like, what is it? What is it? What is it? God said, I can't stand that. Do you know why? You know why Jesus cast out the money changers and those buying and selling? And they were in the court of the Gentiles. Do you know that? When he made the whip and knocked them all out and whipped them? Sure. They were merchandising. They were cheapening the sacrifice offered to the Lord. You could go buy your turtle dove. You could go buy your lamb without spot. You could just go and purchase it and offer it, and it was almost like a one-stop shop. But along with that, they were in the court of the Gentiles, and they were prohibiting the Gentiles from their access to God in worship. I want to tell you something, friend. If my spirit and my attitude and my refusal to humble myself and repent is inhibiting her from worshiping, or him from worshiping, or her from worshiping, or him from worshiping, if I am the one inviting that spirit into this church that people are saying, what is that? I'm telling you right now, friend, we better be doing some soul searching. We better humble ourselves. We better get some authority in our lives and talk to this man ASAP. Everybody know what that means? ASAP. And it's always capitalized, ASAP, as soon as possible, because God is dealing with us today, and God is telling us it's not always going to be like this. God has a destiny for this church. I'm supposed to be a part of it. But if I am resisting his spirit, and I am inhibiting the flow of his spirit, and I am causing question in people's minds, my friend, if I refuse to repent, God will move on without me. Verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Isn't that interesting? Please keep that up there. Some of us wonder why our prayers aren't answered. The damnable thing about iniquity, though, it takes on a form that Paul called the mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. He said, for the mystery. Everybody said mystery. How many people like a good mystery? You like reading mysteries? I don't do much reading myself unless it's factual and, you know, something I really get into studying. But some people, they sit down and read a novel 600-700 pages long in a couple hours. Man, hallelujah. Thank God for you. Can't do it. Some people really get into mysteries. Well, here's one for you. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. In Paul's day, he was talking about the end time, but he said it already worked back then. It says, only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Mystery, the original language, a hidden or secret thing, not obvious to the understanding. We know there's something wrong, but we don't know what it is, but it's got to get right. It's hidden. It's not obvious to the understanding, but the Holy Ghost is trying to bring it to the surface so we will humble ourselves and repent of it, and he can fulfill his destiny in our lives, in the lives of the church. But it's not going to happen until we humble ourselves and repent. We are all sinners. We all need God. And our salvation is more important than our image. Our salvation is more important than our image. Do I need to include myself in that for somebody? Okay, I will. This man knows things about me that I would hope you would never know. And I trust him enough to tell him. And he prays for me. And I can go to him and I can say, am I puffing myself up? No, but sometimes, you know, we just need a little reassurance from the preacher, right? I come to him and I say, brother, I got a problem. There's something I need to tell you about. I'm not telling you because I think I'm right. I'm telling you because according to scripture, I know I'm wrong. I need to overcome this. I need to bind together with me and pray about it. You know what he does? He looks across at the desk or the table or the coffee cup or wherever we're talking, and he said, brother Pritt, you got it. You know what he does? He sends me messages. He sends me scriptures. He sends me things to read. He sent me something today on pride for me to read. Why? Because he thinks it would be a good thing for this man of God to know and to check myself and to make sure I'm not having any pride in me. What is that called? That's called a vulnerability and accountability, my friend. And it's the only way we're going to get this out of our life. Because it just woos us and talks to us and makes us feel so good about ourselves. It will make us so feel so good, we'll just go right to hell with it. Because it's so flattering to us. God's not here to flatter us. God's not here to make me feel good. God's here to get me to heaven. And I will tell you, God's tired of tolerating it in his church. God, if I had to say it today, I really believe God has drawn a line and said, today's the day, folks. A hidden purpose or counsel. Well, what might that counsel be? Me. We talked about it a few lessons ago. Strife, electioneering, promoting myself. Iniquity, the condition of being without law, contempt, or violation of law. Contempt of law. What is contempt of law? Contempt of authority. You can't have contempt for law if you don't have contempt for authority. If you honor authority, you're going to honor law. Amen. But to further illustrate our point, we're going to talk about old King Saul again, because the more I pray, the more I study, the more I study this whole authority thing, the more I hear from Brother Hurt, the more I hear preachers come by and preach in this church, the more God reveals. And guess what? If God reveals it, we're going to talk about it, because God's revealing it for a reason. I want to tell you something today. As Saul refused to repent, we're talking about King Saul in the Old Testament. As he refused to repent, he lost his destiny and became a distraction. I don't want to lose my destiny. I don't want you to lose your destiny. He became David's greatest adversary. You got an adversary in your life? You trying to do what's right? You trying to live for God? You repenting with all your heart of everything you know about? We're going to have adversaries. Just like Jezebel, intimidation was his weapon. I am tired of God's people being intimidated by the Spirit. I am tired of God's people being able, not being able to talk and speak the truth in love, because they're intimidated, but they're going to get slapped down and backed down by this Spirit in Jesus' name. It needs to stop. We either need to stop it or we need to leave. Okay, he affirmed that. I'm not in trouble. We need to repent or we need to leave. Because if we don't, I'm not 100% certain God's going to tolerate it too much longer. But we can see three phases of rebellion and unsubmission in Saul's life. 1 Samuel 15:1. This is the second time God had sent him out to do a mission. First one, he was supposed to wait 7 days. Samuel was going to come, and then God was going to give them victory over the enemy. I am waiting on the Lord. God's going to bless this church, and God's going to minister through this church, and I know God's going to come through. But we need to stay in order. Saul didn't stay in order. Samuel came, you've done foolishly. Your kingdom would have continued forever, but now God's given it to another man. You would think that alone would be enough to cause a person to repent, wouldn't you? It didn't. So Samuel comes and said, the Lord sent, now this is, you know, in this whole story, I never read it like this, but in this whole story, to me this is one of the saddest scriptures about it. Because Samuel is making an appeal to Saul. Much like I'm making an appeal to us today. Much like Brother Hurt has made an appeal. Much like Brother Finney made an appeal. Much like Pastor has made appeal after appeal after appeal. And Brother Mark has made appeals. He's making an appeal. And he said, the Lord sent me to anoint thee king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Would you just listen to me, Saul? Then he goes on to say, I remember what Amalek did and Agag did to the people of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. And their time has come. Punishment and judgment is going to come. That's what the Lord's trying to get us to understand. Judgment will come to us if we don't repent. So he said, I want you to go kill King Agag. Agag, everybody. Just wipe everybody and everything out. Long story short. We know he didn't do it. Why? Because he had grown beyond the will of God. The prophet told him, when you were little in your own sight, you were okay. But now you've grown to the point of thinking, you know, I can get by with it. No, you can't get by with it anymore. The Lord is here to tell us, you will not get by with it anymore. Today is the day of reckoning. You need to deal with it or God is going to deal with it. It's that simple. So he came back. And we see this, and I find this very interesting, because he said stubbornness is the sin of idolatry and rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And brother, what did Brother Hurt say witchcraft is? Manipulation. And what do we see in the first thing when Samuel came to confront Saul? Saul came to Samuel. He said, hey, man of God, I've done what the Lord has told me to do. He began to manipulate the man of God. I'm here to tell you, you're not going to manipulate the man of God anymore. God's on to you, whoever you are. Fair warning. God's come to do business today. God's calling all of us to repentance. And if I'm hosting this spirit that, what is that, Brother Brent? What is that, Pastor Matt? I'm tired of people asking me what's going on in this church. I'm tired of watching poor saints of God. Sometimes it looks like your hands are tied. He began to manipulate the man of God. I've done everything that the Lord has required. It was witchcraft, working manipulations to deceive the man of God. Beware, my friend, of people who try to convince you that their sinful behavior is but a figment of your imagination. Be careful of people who try to convince you that what you hear and you see and you experience is not real, particularly when their behavior does not line up to the will and the word of God. You're being manipulated. Saul wanted Samuel to think and to agree with him that he was okay in spite of his obvious rebellion with the word of the Lord. I have come to tell us today, somebody is not okay. And I'm not going to stand here and make us laugh and tell a bunch of jokes and try and ease our way through this message that I believe the Holy Ghost gave me, that to be quite honest with you, I really didn't want to teach this lesson, but I'm going to because I am under the mandate of the Lord. I'm not going to make it feel any better than it is, because if this is uncomfortable for us, good. Good. Why? Because it's uncomfortable for those poor souls and those poor saints that come into the house of God and can't figure out what's going on. And Brother Pritt, Pastor Matt, what's going on? Friend, it's time to stop manipulating other people to mask true behavior. It's time to repent. He couldn't manipulate the man of God, so he goes on to projection or blame shifting. Samuel would not be manipulated. So Saul, what was his next move? Well, it was the people, Samuel. I did it because of the people. We did it to bring back sacrifice before the Lord. Excuse after excuse after excuse of why he wouldn't submit to authority and obey God. God is over our excuses. God has had enough manipulation. God has had enough excuses. It's time to get real before the Lord. Samuel did not buy that because God's commands were to Saul, not the people. No matter how hard you try, my friend, you cannot escape personal responsibility before the Lord. When God speaks to you, He's speaking to you, not me. If He's talking to me, He's talking to me, not you. You can't take your disobedience to the word of God and blame it on anybody else but yourself. And that's what Saul tried to do. It's time to stop blaming someone else or something else for our sinful behavior and repent. Well, that didn't work, so he tried pretense. What is pretense? Looking good. After his last-ditch effort, Saul finally relented. Okay, I sinned. You happy now, Samuel? I agreed with you. I sinned. Can we just move on? Yeah, we're going to move on, Saul, without you. I got me another man anointed. The destiny of my people, we're moving on, but not with you. Saul's choice. My choice, your choice. He said, could you at least go and worship with me before the people? After all, Samuel, I do have an image to maintain, you know. Saul mixed iniquity with worship, just like Israel did. He didn't repent of his rebellion, never. You know, people always want to harp on God leaving him and a troubled spirit from the Lord troubled him. Come on, man. Quit putting the blame on God. It was Saul's problem, not God's. It was Saul's problem, not Samuel. It was Saul's problem, not the people. My friend, your problem is your problem, not anybody else's. My problem is my problem, not anybody else's. I can't blame anything that's happened to me in my life, my childhood, whatever it may be. I can't blame that for not obeying the will of God. There comes a point in time where we got to grow up and we got to say, I am responsible for God. I'm going to confess my sin. I'm going to make myself accountable to the man of God, and I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Amen. It's that simple. Never mind that I relinquished the kingdom through my stubbornness and refusal to obey God. Never mind who I'm tearing down or what I'm blowing up in the process. Never mind my refusal to obey God, take responsibility for my actions, much less repent. Never mind the entire nation will cower in fear, paralyzed before the enemy while listening to the taunts and blasphemy of the enemy because of me and my unrepentance and my rebellion and my refusal to submit to authority. What's the big deal? Never mind, as long as I look good, go worship with me, Samuel. Just go worship with me. Let's mix some of this worship with my iniquity. Just make it look good. Well, God doesn't want it to look good. God wants it to be real. God's tired of it looking good, church. God wants it to be real. Notice, the spirit from the Lord that troubled Saul came to him after he set his mind in rebellion and refused to repent. Notice that the devil entered Judas after he determined to sell Jesus. My friend, the devil can only affect us to the extent we invite him to and that we allow him to. And I, for one, am just over the excuses the devil made me do it. Brother Stone King said a long time ago, we are the way we are because we want to be that way. And God came to church today to tell us and said, I'm tired of the way some of us want to be because it's hindering my church. You know, Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, you know, woe be unto them by whom offenses come. It would be better if there was a millstone tied around their neck and thrown in the sea. That doesn't just apply to children. That applies to his sheep, my friend. Amen. Church, it's time to pull off the mask. It's time to get out the makeup remover. And for those of you who may not have heard the story earlier, I'm talking about Jezebel. When she painted her face and did up her hair, when Jehu came to do business, she tried to mask her behavior before the man of God. And that's what I'm referring to. It's time for us to take off the makeup remover and let down our hair a little bit and show who we really are. And repent before the Lord. And be contrite before the Lord. Not do just enough to get by. We're not talking about doing just enough to, oh boy, that was some kind of sermon. I better behave for a while. We're not talking about behaving. We're talking about changing our minds and repenting before the Lord. God doesn't need my behavior. God needs my repentance. God's tired of people behaving and not repenting. It's time to pull off the mask, discard the facade, and repent. Repent means to change our mind. Repentance is a gift from God. God's offering us a change of mind today. That's a gift from God. Some of us got it in our, we can repent anytime we want to. Well, you know, if we know to repent, we can. But I do read about a people in Romans chapter 1 where they refuse to retain God in their knowledge. Well, I come to worship. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about how high you jump, how fast you run, or how much you roll all over the church. I'm talking about our submission to the will of God and the authority of God in God in our lives. It's time to stop defying and daring the authority of God in your life to confront you. I'm telling you what. You might defy and dare a man, but I'm telling you, behind that man is a God. Amen. And that God sees everything you do. He sees everything you think, I think. He sees every little undermining of authority. And he's paying attention. And God's calling us to repentance. We wonder what happened to the world. What's wrong with the world? Why are they? Because we have grown so comfortable as a society undermining authority. Wonder why people won't listen to you? Wonder why people this, that, and the other? How submitted to authority are you? How much do you undermine authority? After all that, there's good news, believe it or not. Because I'm going to go on down Isaiah chapter 16, or chapter 1, verse 16. I want to read the rest of our scriptures. After all that God said to Israel, he said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Please leave that up there. That's okay. wash. How do we wash? Well, initially, we put our faith and our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for our sins and He rose again the third day. And we submit to Him when the Bible says, they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost, men and brethren, what are we going to do? We've crucified the Lord of glory. He said, repent, turn from your sins, and to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's a good place to start because that is obeying the gospel. But if we have done that and we have turned from the Lord, we repent, we wash in the blood, as our pastor preaches often, calling upon the name of the Lord. God's not here to condemn anybody, but God is here to tell us, you know what? Somebody needs to wake up. Somebody needs to quit playing games. Somebody needs to take the mask off because it's time to do business. Wash in the blood. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to stop it. Verse 17. Learn to do well. Everybody say do. It's not enough just to say, well, I haven't done anything wrong. What have you done right? Just like we taught the young people when we were, my wife and I were youth pastors of the young people. We taught them all the time. What is the most common question among young people? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong? Mom, Dad, what's wrong with it? You ever ask your dad that? What's wrong with it, Dad? I won't put you on the spot. I'm just kidding. What's wrong with it, Dad? What's wrong with it? We always taught them, don't ask what's wrong with it. Ask what's right with it according to the Word of God. If you can't tell me what's right with it in the Word of God, you probably shouldn't be messing with it anyway, even though there's not a thou shalt not in the Bible. It's a good, safe place to live. Amen. It is. So we need to learn to do well. Seek judgment. What's that? Equity. Fairness. Not having partiality that we talked about. Relieve the oppressed. Not be an oppressor. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. In other words, do good to your fellow man. I'm done with that. Thank you. Verse 18. Come now. Oh, here come. We want to jump to 18. Don't we? Woo! My sins can be forgiven. I want to wash in the blood. He's going to forgive me and everything's going to be okay. Wait a minute. Let's back up. Can we back up to 16 again? Let's run through that again. Wash you, make you clean. You can't wash and make yourself clean if you don't take responsibility for what you're doing and who you are. Put away from the evil from before you. You can't put away evil from before us if we're always blaming somebody else for what we're doing wrong. Put them away from before mine eyes, not from the pastor's eyes. Not from Brother Pritt's eyes, not from Brother Mark's eyes, not from your Sunday school teacher's eyes, not from your mom and dad's eyes, not from your spouse's eyes, but from before mine eyes, the Lord said. Why? Because He sees everything. We can fool some of the people all the time, but we can never fool God. And He's not out here to get you today. He's out here to keep you and me from getting ourselves. Cain, if you don't repent, sin's crouching at the door. Cain, you're headed for trouble. Saint, you're headed for trouble. Verse 17, let's look at that again. Learn to do all that. Verse 18, after that, now, come now. Why always stop, Brother Pritt? You don't get good to get God, you get God to get good. That's right. But you ever heard of fruits meet for repentance? You ever heard that term? Go read the Gospels when John the Baptist preached. He said, don't just repent, don't just get baptized, bring forth some fruit. Bring me some fruit, God said, that shows you have repented. Not just behaving, not just doing enough to get the preacher off your back or get whoever off your back. Repent. You know what? If we obey this, I guarantee if we would repent and do what God is calling each of us to do today, sincerely from our heart, there will be no, what's wrong? What's going on? Do you feel that? Yeah, we were worse, but it just didn't seem right. There will be no more of that. Come now, let us reason together. God is a reasonable God. God understands who we are. God understands our frailty and our faults, but God does not understand us masking our rebellion. He doesn't understand that. He understands we're sinners. The Bible says that. One of the Psalms, he said, you know me. You've known my down sitting. You know my uprising. You know my thought afar off. He said, you formed me in the womb. You knew I was in conceived in sin and born into sin, and I'm frail. And you know, I'm as a father pitieth the children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knows all that. But he doesn't understand stubborn refusal to repent of rebellion and then mixing it with worship. I'm not going to put up with that. So he said, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. God's telling us today, if we will repent, we will be made white as snow. It's going to take some humbling. It's going to take some honesty. It's going to take some responsibility on our behalf. It's going to take us quit blaming somebody else. I'm telling you, God's tired of it. God loves you so much. God wants you to know he's tired of it. He's tired of the blame shifting. He's tired of the excuse making. We're all sinners. The devil didn't make you do it. Yeah, we can be in trying situations. We can be in trying circumstances. I've told you before, I'm in a circumstance at work with a particular manager at work. I wanted to walk into work and point my finger and say, it's him. I've got emails. I've got documentation. I this, that, and the other. But that doesn't relieve me of my responsibility to go into work and do a good job every day as unto the Lord. And even to fix things that they help facilitate messing up. As a matter of fact, I said it across the table the other day in a conference call with our highest executive. Wanted to know what was going on with this one particular situation. And I sat there and I prayed the whole time that the Lord would help me keep my mouth shut and weigh my words. Why? Because it wasn't my job to bring this man's misdeeds up and crucify him before anybody. And you know who was one of the first people to pipe up and start talking in the meeting? Yeah. You know, the Bible says he that is first in his own cause seems right. I didn't say anything. Just sat there, kept my head down, whatever, you know, responded when I was spoken to. And I kept myself in line with authority. And you know, it was the very next day that God had helped me and my manager resolve an issue that had been going on for 2 years. And our customer owed us almost $900,000. Now, I don't know about y'all, but that's a lot of money to my company. And all of a sudden, there's that snap again. I think your brother heard of coming to do that. The purchase orders started coming. Well, what does that mean? That means they start getting put on contract with the right effective dates, and it's going to retro pay all the way back. I was literally jumping up and down and dancing in my cube and worshiping God. We don't have ceilings on our cube. I'd have hit my head. But I thought, you know, I don't care. They can cuss and blaspheme in the name of the Lord and F-bomb this, that, and the other. I'm going to worship God because God answered my prayer. I believe it's because God helped me to stay in line to authority and not draw out the sword. And God said, I'm going to honor that. And I'm telling you what, everybody that went by, young man that went by, I do believe he's a believer in the Lord, but I'm not sure where he's at in his walk with God. And I said, hey, man, you know what's happening? He's like, no. I said, yeah. He said, for real? I said, yeah. I said, you know why? He said, why? I said, because I sent an email last Friday. And I asked God to give me favor. And this buyer who put these up wouldn't respond to anyone. Isn't that peculiar? No. No, it's not. When we humble ourselves before the Lord and we do what is right, no matter the chaos that someone else caused in our life, and we don't shift blame and we don't act like a heathen and try and justify it. I could have went into that meeting and acted like a total idiot, which sometimes isn't hard for me to do. If my flesh isn't crucified, and walked out. And you know what? I would have hurt myself, and that would have never happened with our customer. I guarantee that. So it's time to stop blaming other people for our unsubmission to the Word of God and our hidden rebellion. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So I asked, like Jehu asked today, when he came to see Jezebel. We didn't read it, but you can go back to the scripture in context. He said, who's on my side today? And it wasn't about Jehu, it was about the Lord. So I'm going to ask it this way. Who's on the Lord's side today? Who's on the Lord's side? Church, I believe we have 3 days to get this right if we're hosting the Spirit. And God's going to take matters into His own hands if we don't. I believe we have 3 days to repent. And if we don't, God is going to deal with it. Because God's going to clean it up. Church, I thought I was nuts when that first came to me. I questioned it. I talked to my pastor about it. And it was also confirmed in a message that I listened to within the last 24 hours. I want to say it again. If we're hosting this, we've got 3 days to get it right. Or God's going to step in and God's going to take care of it. So with that said, I want to open this altar for a time of prayer and introspection. Not for you to come and think about somebody else. Not for you to come and think about how bad you've been hurt. We've all been hurt. We've all hurt people and we've all been hurt. But I'm coming today in the name of the Lord with the word of the Lord. And again, with a message that I would have rather not preached. But guess what? It's not my job to want to preach what God gives me all the time. But God in His mercy loves us enough to come and say, I'm telling you one more time, and you got 3 days to get it right. I hope we take it serious. This altar's open. If you want to come and you want to talk to God, He said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as wool. Snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Father, Lord, I have delivered your word today in your name. God, in your mercy, you've called your people to a place of repentance, a place of introspection, a place of humility and humbling ourselves before the Lord. Oh God, I pray right now in the power of the name of Jesus that you would walk up and down these aisles, Lord Jesus, walk up and down this altar. God, help me to truly repent of my sins, God. Help me not to be masked in a facade, Lord. Help me not to play games with you, Jesus. But God, help me to understand that the love of God has come reaching to me. The love of God has come warning me, God, that I'm on a pathway that's not good. And if I don't change and turn around, God, Lord, I'm going to meet my own destruction. Not because you brought it, God, but because I brought it on myself. And I'm asking in the fear of God today, Lord, that you would touch us, God, and help us to humble ourselves to you. Help us to rend our hearts, Lord, before you, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.